Welcome to the Jordan Leah program. Welcome to the book report.
Welcome to the jungle. It gets worse here every day. I'm Axl Rose, and I put out two great albums, Use Your Illusions 1 and 2.
Oh, actually, that and Appetite. That's three albums. Anyway, welcome to the jungle. Upton Sinclair, 1906. One of the most famous books of all time. I don't know why it's not mandatory required reading before you even try getting a god darn job in this gosh forsaken country ran on capitalism. Look at this crazy stuff they're doing, cutting up factory style, all these bad meat practices. The Jungle. Have you heard of The Jungle? I hope you have. This is a historical novel written in 1906 by Upton Sinclair. It's 413 pages long. It is story about 1900 Chicago, an immigrant family from Lithuania. They're working in the meatpacking industry, getting effed up by wage slavery, unsanitary conditions, and human exploitation. American dream? How about the farting American nightmare, buttholes? The story exposes government and business corruption and led to sanitation reforms in the Meat Inspection Act. Yeah, supposedly. That's what a lot of people are like, oh, this book caused them to pass a bunch of laws that make it so we have safe practices for, manufacturing meat. That's not a good way to harvesting meat. Would you kill an animal? Okay, so, hey, explicit content. Parallel parental advisory, you know, advised for you. Okay, when you kill an animal and you take the, you know, we have no idea. No one has any farting idea about how an animal, how do you get the meat from it, man? It's not pretty, I'll tell you that much, man. And when you're trying to do it on a massive scale, things get wild, okay? And yeah, the word is that they passed laws of sanitation acts for this, but you know, Food Inc. just came out in, like, 2007, the documentary, and, like, a lot of stuff is just as bad as it ever was, man. It always was, and it's, like, three companies own everything. It's messed up. Anyways, I love my country. I love money. I love the Illuminati. I will take this podcast down immediately, and I have no idea what I'm talking about. Remember that, folks. But there's a reason why there's never been a movie made out of this book. It's because I don't think they want it to be made. I can't believe how famous this novel is, actually. And it is a novel. It's a story he wrote. Now, Sinclair himself, you know, this is socialist propaganda. A lot of people are like, you know, it is a story. And he was a socialist. He didn't believe in capitalism. He thought that, like, I'm explaining this. I'm learning about this as I'm explaining this. But, you know, socialism. He thought that everyone should have, like, a share in, you know, the business, what's going on. You shouldn't have to work for some private-ass corporation. We should all get a share of the land and all this stuff. And anyways, so he wrote that with that in mind. So keep that in mind. Now, I will say, what do I think about this book? Awesome. Like I said, I can't believe it's not mandatory reading. Gruesome. Definitely a gruesome book. Really detailed on every horrific thing you could think of, happening to a person in life, whether it was physical or mental or just loss, death, disease, famine. You know, people taking advantage of each other, people murdering and raping each other. No good, it's bad. Explicit content. Okay. Should be mandatory reading before entering the workforce. That's what I think. It's an important book. I know a lot of people. I haven't met that many people that have read this book. A couple. Just a couple. It's weird. We all know about it, too. It's horrifying. It's kind of funny. Upton Sinclair definitely has a real dark sense of humor at times. And, I'd have to I'd flip through my underlined parts. But he has comedic relief where he's like, oh, man, you know, some guy's about to die. And it's too bad he couldn't put his efforts towards the greater good of the workforce anymore. You know, he mourned not being able to deliver his back towards slaughtering the pigs any longer. You know, just dark ways of being funny where you got to look at the context of like, dude, this is 1900. You know, we think we're so funny now coming up with dark humor. And it's not like he came up with it, but it's interesting to see it back then, you know, like a Coen Brothers-esque, but in literature form. So just probably, what else do I got about this opening? It's 413 pages. Did I say that? I read all of them. I'm smart as hell. Chicago, about the stockyard. You know, I'll get to it on my vocab, but stockyard, I became familiar with what that is, but that's where they bring all the livestock in to set them put, to transfer them to another place, or start butchering them and putting them on the line. And the point is, it was like a super gross part of Chicago. A super, like, you know, just the animal shit. That alone. And then once you kill the animal, the carcasses, all this bad stuff. And then it's all dripping into the river and polluting the hell out of the river. And that's the reason that they had to reverse the flow of the Chicago River to get it to clear it out, because it was all fucking emptying into Chicago years ago. And now they're just turning it the other way. And it's still like, they call it Bubbly Creek. It's all this fucking thick. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah, polluting the Chicago River. This novel and Upton Sinclair, the term muckraker, the term meaning like a writer that writes to like expose issues, you know? You write for a cause, you know what I mean? You really, him and some other people, but he's the real dude that did that. All right. I feel like that's a good launching point. I feel like you know about this. I'm going to go through the story. All right? All right. All right, let's get down to it. How does this little fantasy fairy tale happen for this Lithuanian family? Lithuania. Gosh, I'm so dumb when it comes to maps sometimes. I really had to look that one up. It was like a part of Russia. It's in that like central European, the Slavics, the Slavic region around there. I'm not good with my European geography, but I'm a little better now. So I got to be grateful for that. So this Lithuanian family moves from Lithuania to Chicago, okay? And Jurgis, it mainly follows this guy, Jurgis. I think it's Jurgis, yeah. Jurgis Rudkus. What a name. All right, Jurgis Rudkus, he marries this 15-year-old named Ona. Already, probably not a great start because she's 15, and I think he's not 15. I think he's older than that, okay? That's not even the bad part of this movie, this film, book at all. That's the most chill part of this whole book, is that a 15-year-old gets married to start this thing off. Cancel Upton Sinclair. Cancel this guy for fucking having a fictional 15-year-old back then, whenever that was the way. I don't know. Anyways, he marries this girl, Ona, and they have a Veselija, this big Lithuanian wedding celebration. You know what I mean? And right off the bat, he's putting it across how, you know, you spend so much effing money, like your life savings pretty much, on a wedding. And then everyone who comes, they got to spend like their life savings on it too. But it's like, you got to do it. You got to do it. And I'm like, dude, that's exactly what the hell life is right now. It's so silly. It's crazy how extravagant some way. People need to stop having weddings and or telling people about it. Just have private weddings. Anyways, that's a different issue. He marries her, and them and like their whole family, a big extended family, about five or six of them, I think, they moved to Chicago. So it's like her stepmom with her stepmom's other kids, and you're just his dad, and maybe someone else, like a handful. I don't know. I don't have it all written down. It's like Try memorizing Jurgis Rutkus and seven other Ona Lakauso was it. I can't even say the fucking names. Here I am swearing up a storm. Okay. So they moved to Chicago for the American nightmare. Because they're like, economic times are tough in Lithuania. Here we go to America. They got cheeseburgers or some shit. So they go there. And here's the thing. Jurgis, he keeps telling Ona throughout this whole thing. When she's like worried about money, he's like, I'll just work harder, man. You know what? 24/7 grind, 365. That's all you got to do is just work harder, which I'm like kicking myself because I've kept telling myself that in real life. I've been telling Jordan. That's been the Jordan Lear program for my whole life. I'm like, I'll just work hard. Well, I'll just get more focus, work hard. And it's like, you gotta work smarter, not harder. Honestly, I mean, you got to work hard. Don't get me wrong. But, dude, that is not going to be the be-all, end-all, especially in this world where people try and take advantage of you in the jungle, you know. Because that's the theme that gets across in this book. It's like the jungle, you think we're tamed? You think we're so domesticated? Nah, man, we're just animals just screwing each other over. All right. So the Lithuanian family moves to Chicago, and they buy this house. And they instantly are getting screwed over on the price of this house. You know, it's the only thing available. They're telling them it's brand new. Turns out it's not brand new. They think they own it, like own it outright. And then they start looking through the fine paperwork and seeing interest rates and seeing, you know, the payments they got to make. And they're like, what the fuck? I thought I fucking bought this fucking thing, you know? That's why when someone, you know, is like, oh, I own a home. It's like, do you really own that home? Or did you just have enough money to give them so you can keep paying them rent and you tell them that you own it? But really, obviously, we know who the fuck owns it. You know what I mean? Anyway, so they get into that right away. And yo, Jordan's sitting back. I'm reading this book. And I'm just pissed because it's 1900. I'm realizing how shitty this is. But I'm like, I think we just live in a more dressed up version of the same bullshit. Ah! Gotta separate myself from the feeling. Alright. Jurgis gets a tour of the stockyards. They meet some other Lithuanians. They start seeing how it works around here. They get it explained to them. And Jurgis is like, this is fucking great. This is awesome. You know, he sees how it's made. He sees that they use every part of the animal. He's like, their whole thing is that they take everything but the squeal. You know, even the fine parts of the toes. This is graphic. Obviously, this is graphic. I'm showing this shit behind me in this Union Stockyard fucking thing. They take, you know, all the smallest parts and the byproduct and the waste of the animal. They use that even for fertilizer, and they use it for products and chemicals and just like everything. It's nasty. Jurgis thinks it's awesome. He's like, looks like a lot of opportunity around here. I'll have a job for the rest of my life doing any of this shit. So, and here's the thing. They use every part of it, which is real, like, gruesome, especially when you're reading it. However, isn't that what the Native Americans did? Isn't that what we always say? That we were like, they didn't waste any part of the animal. And here we go. Well, they're, you know, say what you want about evil, at least they're, you know, efficient. Which is the whole thing, which is, I think it's the whole thing of the economy and what people's purpose in life they think is to be the most efficient, get the most bang for your buck, sell it for the smallest amount, and get the most out of it, or I don't know, man. Okay. So he thinks it's dope. He even says, he goes, everyone is working like there's a demon was after them, you know? So he goes out on the hunt, and he's just like, you know, you got to stand outside and ask for a job. And this dude, mind you, doesn't speak like English either. I mean, a little bit. He's trying to learn, but he's from Lithuania. He speaks Lithuanian and shit. And he just is like, job. So they give him one. They give him one sweeping the entrails on the killing beds. So whenever they pull up, so part of the assembly, where they bring the carcass in. Here's the guts. They pull out the guts of the animal, and he sweeps it away to a certain area so they can use it. Anyways, he gets a job there, and he thinks it's pretty dope. one of the chicks in the family, Marija, she gets a job painting cans. You know, they're like, holy hell, the whole place is employed. You know, it's a little rough. They're still pissed off about the house, but they're like, oh, shit, we all got jobs. It's cool. Jurgis' dad, he's old as fuck. He can't get a job. He's a little bummed out. And then he finds a guy that is like, hey, you give me half your wages, I'll give you a job. And the dad's like, great. I need something to do. Fuck it. Fuck yeah. It's just like, that is so like the American economy. It's like acting and shit when you fucking audition for roles and you're like, I'll do the shit for free. You know, you do all this fucking. Anyways, that's a different thing. You have to be so happy to have a job now. You're willing to do it for whatever they fucking want. Okay. So dad gets a job. Everyone's employed. You know, moving on up. Everyone's having a good time. Interest rate is digging in. And then he's starting to figure out that they're just fucked. He's like, dude, we just make like just enough to live just to get back here. He's like, God, I'm trying to get me and Ona out to get our own place. He's like, we're married, but we can't split off because we still got to stay here and support everyone else. And God, I thought I'd have like this fucking money together by now. And they're just not. And he's like, it was all robbery for a poor man. Everything was poor man. You know, he's like, he started thinking about rights because he's starting to hear and talk the people in the union that work at the meatpacking place. And they're talking about rights. And he's like, what right? I thought I just had a right to like look for a job. And then I had a right to do what I was told after I fucking got that job. I didn't think rights. You want to talk about playoffs? Try to fucking win a damn game first. So it starts getting a little not so good, okay? So one of the kids in the family, one of like the younger brothers or whatever, Stanislav, they're like, yo, homie, you got to start working. So they send the kids off to work, man. They send the kids off to go fucking sell newspapers in the city. And it's like everyone is strapped. Everyone's strapped. They're like, just have enough to survive, okay? Then dad dies. Dad dies because there's chemicals all over the fucking plant and they're getting in and everyone's got tuberculosis or rheumatism and just bad shit. It's filthy. The water they're drinking is filthy. The water in the Chicago River is filthy. Okay. People are sick. They're laid up. You can't even afford to take off work though. And then you sending your kid off. It's not good, man. So dad dies, but dad's old. So it's like not so crazy, right? It's like not the worst fucking thing that ever happened. Then, unemployment comes around. Oh, when the cash flow stops, you gotta turn into a hoe. So, one of the chicks in the house, Marija, she loses her can painting job. And then another person loses the job, and they're like, oh, man, we're realizing how feast or famine this is. They're like, oh, we showed up. We were here for the good season. And that's why we got jobs and we're making all this bang. And like, and they're like, oh, dude, it doesn't add up because it, you know, they're like, oh, sorry, we have no work available. And it's like, well, fuck, I should have saved my money, but I don't have enough to fucking survive. And ugh, so like it still is. So then Jurgis starts trying to go to union meetings a little bit. He tries protesting a little bit. He's like, this is bullshit. They got fucking, you know, the gruesome parts of the disgusting parts of the packing plant start getting expressed here about how there's rats, you know, the place is infested, the meat packing plants, and the rats are falling into the food and the meat grinders, and all sorts of, you know, body parts might go into the meat grinders. People lose appendages. It's just there's poison, spoiled meat they don't give a fuck for. They'll can that anyways. Cows have tuberculosis. It's like they don't care, man. They find a way, even though things might be regulated in some sense, everything gets passed over, and it's just bad, dude. They've got Bubbly Creek, you know, because they've got a lot of this animal waste going into the river, and it's so thick you could like walk on it if you want, apparently. And then they start just using that. They're like, hold on, let's not let this shit go. Let's use some of that. Let's start making that into chemicals. You know what I mean? Ugh. Gosh. And then, okay. And then one of the dudes in the family that's married to one of the girls, I haven't named any of these people, but one of the other random dudes that's helping, not our main guy, Jurgis, but another guy, Jonas, who had a job. He looks around and he's like, hey guys, I know we're Lithuanian, but we're going to do a little Irish goodbye. He doesn't come back one day. He's like, fuck it. Peace out. And that's honestly, that's the move. He's gone. He's gone. He deserts the family. I mean, he's like, dude, this is so fucked. I'm like just paying a little bit to like help support all these fucking people. And he's like, I can't do it anymore. I'm like dying, dude. I'm out. So he's gone. And then one of the kids dies. One of the kids in the family, he's like 12 or 13. He dies. It's fucking cold as shit. You know, he gets bad. He gets sick. One of these illnesses. Not good. Then Jurgi gets hurt. So our main character guy, he gets hurt. So he can't even fucking work his shitty job anymore. You know? Doesn't that suck when you just fucking, you can't even go do the thing you don't want to go do and you're pissed about that and is full of shame and all this shit. And needless to say, Jurgis is looking around, as is everyone, and he's like, this is bullshit. And he keeps telling Ona, his wife, this whole time, he's like, oh, honey, I'll work harder. Sorry. I'll work harder. And he's starting to figure out, he's just fucked, man. I'm sorry, Jurgis. I'm sorry. So he gets hurt. He's laid up for a while. Ona stops coming home as much. She's like later and later at her job. See, what's that about? Jurgis finally gets back and healthy to work, and his job's gone. You know, they don't keep it for him. They're like, fuck you, bro. And he's like, well, can I have it back? He's like, no, what? You're hurt. You're like, you kind of suck at this job now. So he takes the worst job you can take, which is the fertilizer job, which, so that waste that he was like scrubbing away, I think he's like working with that now. He's like working with those guts and whatever, dude. Apparently it puts a smell on him that he can't get out. Can't get out. No one wants to be around him. He starts getting depressed. His wife's not coming home. He's drinking. He turns into a fucking drunk. Loves that liquor. Liquor. And gives him like just moments of pleasure away from this fucking shit. And then one night, his wife, she's gone so long, she comes back and she's all like, looks out of her mind. And he's like, hey, what the fuck's going on? And she's like, oh, nothing. I was at such and such all night. I was lost. I was like, he's like, bullshit. Where were you? Where have you been this whole time? So she comes clean. Parental advisory, explicit content for the next shit. So she says what's happening. She's like, okay, I'm going to tell you what's been going on. And it's so fucked up that it's fucked up and everything's fucked. And he's like, well, you better fucking tell me, you know? And she's like, all right, the fucking dude at one of the bosses in the part of the meatpacking place where I work, she was painting cans or doing some shit. She's like, homie comes in. And the boss dude rapes her, okay? And he's like, hey, don't tell anybody about it. Otherwise, I'll make sure none of your family ever works here again, anywhere. He's like, I know where your husband works. I know where such and such works. Such and such works. They're all losing jobs, and then you'll all be dead because then you can't eat and you can't work, and you'll be fucked. And he's like, by the way, this is going to happen all the time. So that's what she's been going through. And then, on top of that, her female boss in her place is making her like go to the city to work as a prostitute. So she's just like ultimate fucking horror story, you know? And I don't even know if she's like 18 at this time owning this story. I think this is in their first year. No. Anyways, so just nothing but it's horrifying. And it's just, I don't know. Granted, this is, like I said, this is a story. This is a novel. But you know what the world is. It's like, dude, you know this shit happened. It's not good. You just know it happened and still happens in a lot of levels. Bad shit. Especially people put in real tough situations. Ugh, not good. So she tells him that. She tells her husband that. And she goes, well, glad I told you, because now you're going to go kill him. And they're going to kill you, and we're all fucked, and everything, yeah. Like, she's like, I couldn't hold that in any longer, but I'm sure you're going to go try and kill him, and I'm sure it's going to be bad, and here we fucking go. And he heads out in a fucking rage to go do exactly what she says. So, Jarius finds this fucking guy. What's his fucking name? Is his name Connor? Doesn't matter. The big, bad, evil boss guy. He goes and finds him. And is like, hey, are you such and such? And the guy's like, yeah. And he fucking attacks him right the fuck away, knocks him to the ground, bloodies him up. He bites him, bites part of his face off and shit. Then they stop him. They stop him right before he can kill the guy. You're just got to go to jail. Got to do the jailing. He's in such despair. The whole family is, because he's just fucked. He's this, like, immigrant guy. He has no idea how anything works. He barely speaks English. They bring him in front of the judge. He tries explaining what happens. They even have someone that speaks Lithuanian. And he's like, yeah, dude, fucking my wife is getting raped and all this shit. Yeah, this guy's fucking evil. And the guy was like, well, if she had a problem, why didn't she just go complain about it? And it's like, go fuck yourself. What are you fucking talking about? There's a bigger fucking, it's not like that, you asshole, okay? It's not, so, just, I don't know, it's another thing. Like, that kind of shit doesn't change. This is like 1900. This is 1906 that this was written. This is 2024. Dude, that shit happens left and right, judges acting like that. It's fucking insane. It's insane. Anyway, so he's in jail. He's in there for disorderly conduct, which is what they put you in when they can't give any fucking real reason, actually. he's like, this is bullshit. And he finally gets out. He gets out like a month later or some shit. Gets out, and he's trying to like find his family. He's like, what the fuck are? All right, what's going on? No one gave me any updates. What the fuck, dude? He goes to his old house. It's repainted. A new family lives there. He goes, this is my house. I bought it. And they go, no, you didn't buy it. I mean, you did, but if you're behind on your such and such, then they're going to take it away. He's like, no, they told me I bought it. I asked the guy a million times. We had a lawyer come over. We paid the lawyer extra money. He's like, I bought it. They go, no, you didn't. Like, I know you bought it, but you needed to pay all the time for the rest of your life forever. You never buy it. You know, you don't really buy it. It's like, oh, we just tell you that to make you feel better. Anyways, he's like, where's my family? And they're like, what are you talking about? Who the fuck are you? Anyways, he finds his family. He finds where they're living at some new place. And it ain't good. His wife's upstairs. Mind you, she'd been pregnant with a new boy. Oh, man, I missed the whole fucking thing because I've been going on a thing. They had a son in between there. They already had a son. Okay, so they have a 2 or 3 year old now, or a 1 year old. He's very young. But she's also pregnant again. When he went into jail, she was pregnant. And he gets out, and she's given birth. But it's like way too fucking early. Way too early. So he's freaking out. It looks like she's dying. Where they're staying, by the way, is like a garret, like this attic area room. And it's at this like halfway house for people to live that are homeless, you know. He's not even supposed to be there, but you know, his wife's dying. Anyways, he tries paying some fucking midwife to come save her life, and the midwife is like, yo, you got some money? And he's like, yo, dude, she's dying. And she's like, all right, well, you better pay me after I go. And then they go. His wife dies. Ona dies giving birth. Fucking tragic. She's all sorts of sick. After she dies, the midwife is like, yo, what was that money? He's like, I don't fucking, I got guess I'll try and pay you sometime. Anyways, talk about all sorts of fucking rock bottom. You know, our main character came here with this Lithuanian dream of America. His job sucks. Then his family is torn from him. And he doesn't know what to fucking do, man. And his sister-in-law, wife, one of the chicks in the family is like, hey, Jurgis, you got to keep it together, man. You still have a son. You still got a little 2-year-old boy. Antonas, is that his fucking name? Yeah. His little boy, Antonas. He's like, you still got a boy. You got to do what you can for your son. And Jurgis is like, fucking all right, man. I'll fucking do it. I'll fucking do it, man. So he lifts up his head. He tries to keep it together for Antonas. Even though his love of his life, Owen, is gone. And he's always been like, I'll work harder. So he goes back and he's like, all right. And he starts getting shitty jobs. And then he comes home one day. And his son is dead.
Fuck.
Ugh, heart-wrenching. Antonas, his little boy, is like 2 or 3, died in the mud, drowned in the mud in the muddy, shitty streets because it's such shitty conditions everywhere they are that he basically was walking off on this bridge and the bridge fell apart and landed in some mud and he fucking, I don't know, dude, fucking sucks. So obviously, J-Dog is devastated. All is lost. So what's he do? He hits town. On the road again. I can't wait to be on the road again. It's what you gotta do when you lose everyone. It's so sad. I have no good spin on this. It's not a good spin. It's just, I didn't like reading this stuff. It's very informative. It's very important. And I hate explaining this book. I don't think this podcast should get any views. Maybe it should so you can cheat on your class if you didn't read the book in your exam. But, dude, this fucking story hurts. It hurts. It's not good. But Jurgis, he's like, fuck it, I'm leaving. I'm going to take this train out of here. He's like, sorry, bailing on all this family I knew. Sorry, I can't take it. I'm leaving. And he gets this freeing feeling as soon as he gets to the countryside, man. Gets to the countryside and he finds a river, like a clean river. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm going to take a bath. Fuck this. Takes a bath. Feels great. Feels fucking fantastic. He's basking in the sun. He's in nature. He's like, what the fuck was I doing all that for? You know? Doing it for them people, you know? So he's doing that. And then, I don't know, he comes across the house and he's like, yo, you guys got some food? And they're like, well, I'll offer you some work for money. He's like, I don't want any fucking money. I don't want money. No. He's like, I'll do a little trade-off. So he starts doing that. He goes from house to house. He becomes a tramp, as they refer to it. One who walks, you know, walks from place to place, begging for money, begging for work. Comes a tramp, and he's pretty happy. He's pretty damn happy. He's as happier than he's been since he left Lithuania, I'll tell you that much. And he got this fucking pig intestine shit all over him while his, you know, everyone he loves is getting tortured and shit and dying. And everyone around him is living in filth. He's like, this is pretty good. You know? No attachments. That's some fucking Buddhist principle. Chill. And then he can't stay away from civilization, to say the least. That's the thing. So he starts traveling from town to town. He gets this down to Missouri, doing just seasonal work wherever he goes. And, you know, it becomes a way of life. He meets a lot of other people like himself and levels of that, and eventually, hold on, I'm getting lost here. Does he go back to Chicago? Yes. Yeah. He goes back to Chicago, and then he meets some fucking rich guy one night, and he's like in fucking doing rich people shit, and this rich guy gives him like a $100 bill, and he goes to a bar with it, Some guy tries stealing $100 bill. He gets in a bar fight. He's fucked again. He's fucked. He's in jail. And then and then in jail, he meets some tough guy. And he meets some tough, like, con artist dude. Is that right? Some sort of corrupt guy. Yeah. So he gets out. So then Jurgis gets out. And now he's, like, dealing. He's, like, in line with the criminals. He's, like, helping the politicians and the corrupt police officers in town. He's, like, doing criminal work and shit. And then he's even going to the meatpacking plants and, like, doing, like, corrupt shit, working as a strike breaker, fucking people up, complaining about wages. He's, like, on the other side. He, like, turns that whole other fucking coin over, man. It's, like, it really is a character's journey. You know what I mean? So he's doing this, and he feels pretty good about it because he's kicking ass, and he's got, like, clothes on. He's, like, he's in with people. He's got money and shit. He's doing corrupt shit. He feels kind of good. And then one day he sees the dude that was raping his wife, Ona. Yeah, he sees that fucking, yeah, Connor. He sees Connor, and he's like, holy shit. I think it's that guy I tried to kill. And he looks at him, and the guy doesn't really recognize him. He's like, I'm gonna fucking do it again. So he bashes his fucking brain in again. He tries to bite a part of his face off again. He does it all again. He's fucking... Jurgis just can't stay away from prison. Okay? He just can't stay away from that jail life. So he goes to jail. They stop him before he can kill this dude again. Beats within an inch of his life. And then he gets out of jail before he can get sentenced. He, like, gets out on bail somehow. Yeah. He gets someone to come up with a bunch of money, and they fucking beats it. He skips town. Out. Peace. So he hits the streets. Okay. All right. It's like, now that he got into corruption, the story started getting more fun. I'll tell you that much. That's where you got to do it. Life gives you a shitty hand, I guess, man. Put up against the odds. Not really, man, because he got fucked. Fucking, it's endless cycle of shit, Jurgy. All right. So he gets out of jail, but he's on the run, okay? And he decides, he's like, you know what? I'm going to see what the family's up to. I lived quite a life. I had to hit the road. I took a bath in the river. It was like Jack Kerouac shit. And, I'm going to see what they're up to. I'm going to see what my old stepsisters, sister-in-laws, and the family, and that kid Stanislav, see what they're up to. And he goes and finds them. So he finds Marija, who I didn't write down who the fuck she is to him. I think it's like a sister-in-law or whatever. Anyways, Marija's had a tough time. She has lost half of her arm. She ain't with her homeboy anymore. Was her husband the one who skipped out? I don't know. She's the one who had a dead kid, and she's lost an arm, and she has turned to prostitution. And he has learned that most people that make any money, that's what they'll do. And she's pretty much supporting the rest of the family, living at a place, through that. And he's like, oh, shit, why are you doing this? And she's like, for money, you dumb fuck. And he's like, nah, you got to get out of this. We got to get you a job somewhere. She's like, nah, man. And besides, I'm on drugs. They're not going to take me. And he's like, stop taking drugs. And she's like, nah, you dumb fuck. So she's like, yo, yeah, I'm in prostitution. I'm on drugs. Stanislav, that kid died. Rats ate him. He's like, rats ate him? What the fuck do you mean rats ate him? She's like, yeah, he passed out drunk. A bunch of rats ate him. Didn't wake up. That's holy fuck. And she doesn't even want to quit. And then Jurgis goes about and he meets some fucking socialist people. He goes out in the street because his family doesn't. He's like, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck to do for you guys. I don't know. This is all bad. Nothing's good. And then he meets some politicians. And they're into socialism, as Upton Sinclair's into socialism. And I don't know, they get them all hyped up on these ideals. They're like, here's what's problem. When private owners own the means of production and control the factories and the livestock and everything, and we're just paid wages by the hour, we get fucked. We should have the socialistic principle where we all have a share of this, and it belongs to all of us, and healthcare is provided, all this shit, all this. And you're just like, all right, I've been through hard times, but I'm Upton Sinclair, and I'm a socialist. That's pretty much how it ends. Fuck. I mean, what do you think? What do you think? It's pretty rough, man. It's pretty rough. It's pretty, I'm like, what do I think? You know? I think so much. Fuck it. It wasn't fun. I'll tell you that much, okay? It's an important book, and I know it's fake, but I think it's real. It's not good. You know, my hot take before I move on to the next section is I think we lie. I think capitalism should be good because competition is good. And I think the free market is good, but I don't think we actually exist in that. I think we actually kind of exist more in socialism than we think. And it's like everyone has a group mind. Even though we say the laws are this, it's like we all have a way of acting that is closer to socialism, and I think it is actually bad in a way. That's my initial take, not knowing anything about economics or anything, but I'm like, you know, capitalism should be good, but whenever huge corporations are allowed to have monopolies and are allowed to be bailed out and not fail, and they control all the patents and they control every facet of the industry, you know, and it comes down to like one guy or a group of people, that gets fucked up. And it's like, that's not what capitalism should be. It should be a bunch of different companies. And, you know, there used to be thousands of different meat companies. Now there's like 3 in the whole fucking world, I think, when it boils down to it. I don't know. That was the story. All right, time for a little impact section, cultural impact. So, like I said, they passed the Meat Inspection Act after this, and also the Pure Food and Drug Act. I don't know, a couple things that supposedly they got to go inspect things and different regulations. And, you know, to me, I don't buy that did all that much. And here's another way. Okay, the president at the time, this book comes out, Teddy Roosevelt reads it, and he thinks Sinclair is full of shit. He does. And he's like, dude, this is all horse shit. And then he calls Sinclair into his office. He meets up with him. He's like, is this bullshit or not? And Sinclair's like, no, it's not bullshit. It's what's going on out there, dude. I worked for 7 weeks in the meatpacking plants. I went undercover. And so he's like, okay, we'll pass these things to fucking do this, you know, for the cleanliness. However, Sinclair said about the reception, he said everyone missed the point. He said, I aimed at the public's heart, and by accident, I hit it in the stomach. Because your idea of this book is the sanitary conditions and the way that the meat is butchered and the meat is handled and how that causes disease and how people aren't healthy. That is such a huge issue. Yes, ginormous. Okay. The bigger issue, bro, is the work, is the time, is the work conditions and the little pay and then the living conditions that are provided to you after work in the city. It was about the American nightmare, and that is that, and then human relations, you know, people preying on each other like predator and prey in the freaking jungle, man. He was really trying to put across that, how fucked up people treat each other. That's what's more, the control people have, the grafting, the way people say, oh yeah, you can have a job if you do it for nothing and I get most of the money. Yeah, no problem. That is the real thing of the jungle. I think he was getting at. That's what I got, dude. I mean, you got to look no further than fucking Ona getting raped and told, threatened that, like, she's like, they're like, dude, your whole family's going to lose jobs and none of you are going to be able to eat. And then where are you going to go? You know, what are you going to do? You're just going to die. And then even they stayed there and they're all just dying anyways. It's so bad. So that was the point, you know. It could have been... It could have been them going to a job where everything was clean, good, clean working conditions. He should have wrote that book to get it across. He's like, yeah, dude, it's the fucking, I mean, man, I've had jobs before that were on paper easy, but are so mind numbing and in around negative people and people treating you like shit, even though they weren't like physically hitting you, like people just like treating you so bad mentally and having a weird way of sexually harassing people. Dude, I mean, just that is so vulgar and it's such a, so viral in today's workplace culture. You know, this hierarchy people have over each other and how it consumes the hours you spend. Like, what the fuck is that night? I will take this podcast down if the Illuminati lets me in, but what's with this 9 to 5 Monday through Friday horse shit? What are you talking about? Oh god. Same time, if I get a full-time job, I will be so grateful. That's a lot of the impact. There's never been a film made of this. Never. Now, his other known book that I did a book report on, Oil, they made a movie out of. They made There Will Be Blood. Now, Oil, if I compare and contrast the two, it's brilliant because they're two, they're opposite viewpoints of the American industrial machine, capitalism versus socialism, because the jungle is from the worker's point of view and oil is from the owner's point of view. Owner, corporate, the boss's point of view. That's what oil is. It's about the rich dude and him trying to expand his business and the son learning about it and going back and forth on it. And but even in, okay, the film version of Oil, There Will Be Blood, they really don't talk about the strikes. They don't talk about the economic problems between the workers and the owners. They don't explore that. And I think that's on purpose. And I think it doesn't help my algorithm as someone who's trying to up the views and is willing to sell out. I'm willing to sell out, guys. You're just not giving me anything, so I got to talk about the jungle. But it's a little weird. It's such a great book, and there's not been a fucking movie made out of it or a miniseries. It's like you'd think this would be a gimme. You'd think there'd be a bunch of versions of this. They're going to do get on the second version of Harry Potter, you know? I don't know, they've probably sold more Harry Potter books than The Jungle. I've met more people that have read Harry Potter than The Jungle, to be fair. They made a film version of this in 1914, a silent film, and it's lost. Supposedly, it's gone. It's burnt up, it's gone. Coincidence? I think not. Can't be. I mean, I don't know. And there's been no formal play. There's been a play called Saint Joan of the Stockyards, which takes place of this time period. You know, anything having to do with the stockyards, Chicago, it's kind of unavoidable. It's deep in the lexicon, what do you call it? The zeitgeist. Yeah, man. I mean, another one of the biggest impacts this had, I guess I should say, is the quote he had. Upton Sinclair said, "It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends upon his not understanding it." Yeah, dude. Look at that. All right, a little bit about Upton Sinclair. the author. I was, you know, if you're going to study a writer or an artist, number one, I think it's good to look at multiple of their works, multiple pieces of their work, you know, try and read two or three of their books. If they write in different mediums, if they write poetry or they write plays or they're a director, try and check that out. I think it helps unlock what they're trying to say, you know, because obviously, I mean, Upton Sinclair, most of his life is he's very political. He's trying to write, he's muckraking. He's trying to expose the issues in his writing, you know? And then I think when you learn about their life, usually it just bleeds out into their art, you know? Look at Tennessee Williams. Why has he got gay stuff? Everyone's got this repressed homosexuality throughout, you know, because he was doing that. Good shit. Upton Sinclair, what's his deal? Yeah, he's born in Maryland. He's an American dude. In 1878, he's got middle-class parents, dad works in shops, shine shoes, this shit, and I think that's what influenced him to hate the system, because he grew up borderline poor most of the time, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, I get that, I don't know, I understand fully that me, Jordan, I wanted to be an actor, and obviously I love art, but I can't discount the idea that, oh man, my family, we always grew up, you know, lower middle class. I really love to be the one that pulls us out of that, you know? You just can't help but be driven by things like that. You just want to be as good or better, you know? And I saw that being a struggle for my parents. And obviously, I just like, oh, if I solve this problem, then I will have done life correctly, which I feel like he did. He studied law and languages at Columbia University in New York. A lot of languages. Okay, that's good. He said he wrote a bunch of pulp fiction with a stenographer. And I'm wondering if that meant that he typed the stenography, you know, the shorthand, or if he talked. Because I'm learning that about some writers. Some of them write and someone else fucking writes it. I mean, some of them talk and someone writes. Like, that's the way they write. Or, like, they do voice memo talk. Which I'm not saying you don't have to do, but I don't like doing that. I like writing, and I feel like that's the way, that's writing to me. That's me. When I write, it's that. You know, I do voice memos to quickly put down ideas, but when it comes down to writing, I gotta write it. I don't know. Anyways, that's what he did. He was a muckraker, like I said, exposing the issues. He had like three wives. He had one kid, only one kid, I guess. Here's the thing about him. One of his wives, he felt weird about. You could tell this dude was weird about sex, because he told his first wife, he goes, I only want to bang when we make a kid. He goes, I don't think you're supposed to oink, oink, oink whenever you're not trying to procreate. And she's like, oh, you want to have a lot of kids? He's like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if we do, I only want it to be for that. And she's like, all right. And I don't think he still didn't want to do it. So then they do it, and like, that's it. And obviously she's like, got to go get some fucking side dick. And he has an affair on her. Sinclair. He does, okay? You need to keep everything into account. And I know we've all had faults in our life. We all have things. And I'm not saying it doesn't mean he's a good writer. I'm just like, dude's got some shit to work out, okay? Obviously, the main character in Oil had a lot of problems with sex, whether he should do it premarital or not. And Sinclair is telling his wife he doesn't want to bang her ever. And he's having an affair on her. You ain't shit, motherfucker. I'm just saying. Write all the fucking words you want. And you have all your problems with capitalism. Maybe you should just fuck your wife more. I just, you know, he's your wife. All right. Sorry, my phone died. I want to squeeze this in about Upton Sinclair. He also made a little commune at one point, And it was like the community he was trying to form, and I think it was like the socialist community or some shit like that. And it was all white. That was the other stipulation. A little racist. And it was non-Jewish all white. Couldn't get in unless you were fucking old school Anglo-Saxy. You know what I mean? So another thing to say that Upton Sinclair, kind of weird. Great writer, but kind of weird. Time for the vocab section of the book report. Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the vocabulary section. This is where I go through a book and I underline every word that I don't know. And go ahead and make fun of me for all the words I don't know. Because if I'm like, I don't really know what that is, I underline it so I can learn it. And then I forget it later. So I'm going to give you the definition of all the words I didn't know. And I'll try and use it in a sentence, maybe. The vocab. Okay. The Veselija, the Lithuanian wedding celebration. That's what starts it off with a bang. Doesn't lead to good things, though. Imbibe, to drink. They imbibe the beer. Oh, I imbibe something to drink. Badinage. Is that, did I spell that right? Badinage, humorous conversation. The badinage. We had some badinage earlier. Led to some Veselija. We had badinage at the Veselija. Insignia. A sign or mark of a group. The insignia. You know, like a pin or something. A marker. A little crest. Seraphically. Resembles an angel. Very seraphically of him. When she walked in. Seraphically. My friend's band was called Seraph back in the day. Like the angels. Benediction. An utterance of a blessing. Oh, he put his benediction upon this television set before the Super Bowl. For the Chiefs. Prestissimo. Very quick tempo. Is that an Italian term? Probably. I don't know this. Goes back to them Italians. They know how to do art, man. Schooner. Sailing ship. In the book, it described a schooner of beer. Which means a big thing of beer, probably, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's an in for a glass, too. Maybe I did it wrong. Rheumatism. A lot of people have that in this book. Sorry. The inflammation, pain, and joints. Does it have to? Does rheumatism have to be a disease, though? Because, like, can you generally have rheumatism? I wonder if I have rheumatism. No, rheumatism. I don't work at meatpacking plants. Maudlin. Self-pity, usually when drunk. Ooh, he was in his maudlin by the stairs when they were playing Shout. immemorial. Very old. A pussy was immemorial. Fortnite. 2 weeks. Haven't seen you in a fortnight. Means 2 weeks. Stockyard. The yard for cattle, sheep, swine, horses to be shipped or slaughtered. The stockyard's where all the gross stuff grows. Pedomains. Ptomaines. A group of amine compounds from animal and vegetable matter. Oh, that's some of the gross shit from the fertilizer in this book. Pedomaines. Sinew. It's the tendon from muscle to bone.
Okay.
Isinglass. It's fish glue. Clarifying agent. Isinglass. Like a clear? I don't know. Pepsin. Is a digestive enzyme. Dray. Is a vehicle to haul goods. Carry in the tray. Laissez-faire. Policy of not intervening. Very laissez-faire. Means I ain't fucking doing this shit. Is that a French term? Laissez-faire of you. I ain't fucking getting involved. I'm laissez-faire about this shit. Malthus. Food supply can't keep up with exponential population. Oh, that was a dude. Malthus. He said food supply can't keep up. That's pretty true. Graft. There's a lot of grafting in this book. It's to acquire money by dishonest means. Yeah. It's usually the most profitable way. That's why I'm broke. I try to be a simple man. Okay? I ain't grafting nobody. Sarsaparilla. 1800 soft drink. People drinking the sarsaparilla. I just think of Big Lebowski. Hey, sir, say you got any of that old sarsaparilla? Fucking Sam Elliott? Yeah, Sam Elliott says it at the end of Lebowski. Fodder. Hay or feed for livestock. That's fodder. Like cannon fodder? Is that different? Bubbly Creek. It's the gross arm of Chicago River filled with waste. Bubbly Creek. They actually had to reverse the Chicago River because it was so gross and it was going out into the lake, getting into their drinking water. And it's gross and they didn't give a fuck. I don't know, man. I just don't. They still do this shit everywhere. There's a lot of that everywhere. It's not good. L.A., they fucking dump the waste into Santa Monica every fucking... It's gross. The sewage, ew.
Whatever, man.
There's signs in L.A. that say, don't dump your waste to the street. It goes into the ocean. It's like, don't set it up so it goes into the ocean, you fucking idiots. Duh, there's gonna be waste. You're giving us Jack in the Box. Anyways. Obstinate. Stubbornly adhering to an opinion. I am very obstinate about the fact that there's so much manufactured horse shit going on in the world. And I will take this podcast down if the Illuminati lets me in. Please, Illuminati. Pauper is a very poor person. Albumin. It's egg white protein.
Okay.
Like albumin is like a gross thing they get when they get it from the animals too. Ptarmigan, medium-sized game bird. Oh, they hunt for that in Life Below Zero, that show about Alaska. Out there looking for ptarmigan. Piecework, paid according to work produced. Ah, how many chickens you pluck today? I pay you by the plucking chickens. You getting paid piecework. Borax, for household cleaner. Every time there's like one of these weird words, it's like it's one of the gross things from the animal byproduct. Glycerin. Oil or moisturizing uses. Okay. Torpor. Torpor is lethargy, mental and physical. Oh, in my torpor. I just don't know what to do with life. Conjurer's Rosebush. I underlined this. It's from the Scarlet Letter, maybe? Someone can help me with that. If you can tell me what that means, you can tell me. Tempest, a violent, windy storm. The tempest. The springtime brings upon a tempest before the twister. Garrett, The top floor attic room, small or dismal. I know what a garret is after reading this book, because that's where Ona died, given birth after she got married. That's so sad. Cornucopia. Symbol of plenty. It's the goat's horn. It's that horn with, like, fruit falling out of it. A cornucopia. A cornucopia of fruit, you know? Valise. Small traveling bag or suitcase. Okay. Truant officer. I know what that is. Person who investigates students that aren't going to class. Catechism. Fixed questions to instruct Christian principles. That's what a catechism is? I thought a catechism is like a lot, like a kaleidoscope. Maybe it's a totally different thing. A catechism. It's like a fixed questions to be like, you know what this is? But you're really telling them what it is. That's some bullshit. Ineffable. Unfuckable. Ineffable is too extreme to be described in words. Ineffable. Oh, the moment after I was circumcised, it was ineffable. I was 33 years old and they chopped it off. It was ineffable. That's a little of both. Yeah, it would be ineffable and ineffable. Nah, maybe not. Tramp. Travels on foot begging for work. See, I've always heard like girls that were skanky called tramps. Or like if you're... Because I guess that's what it would be. I guess you are skank because, you know, if you don't have a place to live and you can lay some dick or lay some pussy out to acquire that place to live, you're kind of a tramp. Is that what I am? This is my girlfriend's place. Sorry, baby. I'm not a tramp, I swear. I'm not a tramp. I love you, baby. An actor. Actors are tramps. Lady and the actor. I have been a tramp for a long time, I guess. The acting, I'm always begging for it. Can I have a job? Can I have some money? Can I have something to do? Buccaneer. You know, like a pirate. A daring or reckless person, especially in business. Ooh, that buccaneer took half the shares of my company, son of a bitch. A Slav. Not a slave, a Slav. Central and Eastern Europe. The Slavic region. Yugoslavia. Lithuania. They're Slavs. Latvian, I think. Tessellated. Pattern of repeating shapes and polygons. Okay. Or like when a sidewalk is tessellated, it's got like a pattern kind of. It's cut up in different ways. Okay. Insouciance. Casual lack of concern. Oh, I was so full of insouciance over the gambling and sports. I don't care. Guileless. It was without deception. He was guileless. He was pure. He was telling the truth, my dear. Marquis. A nobleman. Like Marquise. Some nobleman. Is that a French thing? Trumpled. Dude, he wrote the word trumpled in here, and I can't find it on the internet anywhere. I get, like, trumped, but this said trumpled, not trampled, umpled. Vicissitudes, an unwelcome change of fortune. Oh, the many vicissitudes that I encountered after I was beaten and left at the side of the road to die. The vicissitudes after... my business was stolen from under me. A plutocrat. Power derives from wealth. Oh, he's quite the plutocrat. Isn't everyone a fucking plutocrat? Is that why power... I mean, mine derives from a penis. Don't get me wrong. But I am making money on it. That's not true. Obdurate. Is the stubborn refusal to change opinion. Is that same as obstinate? Obdurate and obstinate? They seem very similar. I'm obdurate. Is that an adjective or a verb? I need to figure it out. I'm trying to tell you and I don't know. Dregs. Solid particles that settle at bottom of wine or coffee. Oh, that's what that is. Dregs. Rife. Widespread. Like that young comic Subscribe to Matt Rife Online. Widespread, like herpes? Saturnalia. It's December 17th, Roman celebration of God Saturn. Promising of the spring harvest. Okay. Pangs. Sudden sharp pain. The pangs of despised loved. Yeah, when you lose love, it hurts. Tenpin. Bottle-shaped bowling pin. Eh. Obloquy. Strong public criticism or verbal abuse. Tolstoy, Russian writer, War and Peace. The proletariat, the working class people. I am for the proletariat. You gotta be for the proletariat. Duh, that's not... You gotta be. Trail of the Octopus. The Octopus, imperialism. Octopus is the sign of the imperialist, I guess. That's cool. Maybe the... Maybe I think octopus are just aliens. You know? Granger is a farmer. Populist strives to appeal to ordinary people. Yeah. The populist says they're for the proletariat. Yeah. Hey, I'm for the people, man. I'm a populist. I'm for the metaphysical punk underground, man. Recalcitrant. Uncooperative toward authority. Okay. He was a recalcitrant. He was an anarchist. He was lighting off a cigarette in the middle of the gymnasium. Unregenerate, not reforming or reputing. The unregenerate is also lighting a cigarette in the gymnasium. Fusillade, shots fired in succession. We approached a fusillade. The fusillade approached us. Dyspeptic of having indigestion. I guess. Stygian. Extremely dark, gloomy, like the Styx River. That's Stygian. Oh, my journey was Stygian. It was so... There were so many open mics I had to encounter. Archfiend is very wicked and cruel. Pharisees, a member of ancient Jewish sect. Not Kanye. Kanye is not a Pharisee. Incendiary is a bomb device likely to cause fire or violence. But I think the way he uses it, like, oh, there, his intentions were incendiary. It's like he was trying to take him down. That's the vocab, man. Those are all the words I didn't know that now I know forever. Right? I know it. Some final thoughts on the jungle, Upton Sinclair. You know, here's some things I read. This is one haunting, some haunting things. I kept wanting to underline everything in this book. This is a moment early on, what is this? Jurgis is out of work. He can't get a fucking job because he's hurt and people are dying, all this shit. And he says, is it true, after all what others had told him about life, that the best powers of a man might not be equal to it? It might be true. Strive as he would, toil as he would, he might fail and go down and be destroyed. The thought of this was like an icy hand at his heart. The thought that here, in this ghastly home of all horror, he and all those who were dear to him might lie and perish of starvation and cold, and there would be no ear to hear their cry, no hand to help them. It was true, it was true. That here in this huge city, with its stores of heaped up wealth, human creatures might be hunted down and destroyed by the wild beast powers of nature just as truly as ever they were in the days of the cavemen. That's the part where this is the jungle, man. Like, this is really... That's my fear in life, you know? I've set out, and I've been so blessed. I have a lot of people to help me, and... Man, it's so scary, though, because you just put out, and you're like, oh, if I'm just a good person and work hard, that, like, something good's gonna happen. It's like, dude, bad shit might happen anyways, you know? Being a good person and being good at things isn't... It's not always good enough, you know? It's not a good enough reason to quit. I'm not saying that, and you can't be a nihilist. Like, what's the fucking point? But it's just, you know, man. Things are tough. On the contrary, try as he would, Jurgis could not help being made miserable by his conscience. It was the ghost that would not down. It would come up upon him in the most unexpected places. Sometimes it fairly drove him to drink. Here's a part that he puts across the corruption in town and how all the corruption is pretty much designed. Like, all the crime is designed to happen so it can be busted, you know. The law forbade Sunday drinking. And this had delivered the saloon keepers into the hands of the police and made an alliance between them necessary. That's the thing. He keeps saying that the saloon keeper goes hand in hand with the corruption and the police in the town. In every city. The law forbade prostitution, and this had brought the madams into the combination. It was the same with the gambling housekeeper and the pool room man, and the same with any other man or woman who had a means of getting graft and was willing to pay over a share of it, the green goods man and the highwayman, the pickpocket and the sneak thief, and the receiver of stolen goods, the seller of unadulterated milk, of stale fruit and diseased meat, the proprietor of unsanitary tenements, the fake doctor and the usurer, the beggar and the pushcart man, the prize fighter and the professional slugger, the racetrack tout, the procurer, the white slave agent, and the expert seducer of young girls. All of these agencies of corruption were banded together and leagued in blood brotherhood with the politician and the police. More often than not, they were one and the same person. The police captain would own the brothel he pretended to raid. The politician would open his headquarters in his saloon. Well, you see that left and right today, man. If something's corrupt and illegal, it's like, well, the people that are supposedly taking it down are just the ones supplying it. You know? They're all so in business with each other. I don't know, man. This book you need to read. It makes you mad. It's, you know, and this is a story, and it's got its propaganda elements. It definitely does. But you need to be informed, you know. You get enough of the American dream shoved down your throat about you work hard, you'll get a good job, people will take care of you. And that is true in a lot of respects. However, there's also the other side of the coin, which is possible, which is always possible. And maybe it needs to be possible for the human spirit to move forward and evolve itself. It's, you know, maybe that's why we're supposed to face adversity, and maybe everything isn't supposed to be easy and fucking, maybe there's supposed to be things that we're supposed to have an epic pushback. And maybe the reason why there's a lot of corruption today is because we haven't pushed against it enough. Or maybe I'll just take this podcast down if the Illuminati wants to fucking accept my email. I don't care how contaminated it is. Give me my Chef Boyardee and I will shut the fuck up. Okay? Please like and subscribe to the Jordan Lear program on all platforms. Find Jordan Lear, spelled with two E's. Don't look up anyone else. I know there's a lot of imposers out there. A lot of people trying to get their bass fishing or their wrestling or whatever, their bullshit. I am the entertainer. I'm the actor. Jordan Lear, subscribe, like. On Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter X, Thready Red, find me. Also, if you want to support this beautiful art I have, you can do so for only $1 every single month. You can subscribe to my Patreon, where I unlock exclusive content. You get access to any of my work you want to read or watch, any of my films or screenplays. You can watch my private Instagram, where I put more cool pictures of where I head out into my life when I go on little trips to museums and stuff like that with my friends, and extra content. It's only $1, and you can support me and say you're supporting Jordan Lear. And I just keep on watching these videos every week I'll put out a show, a book report, some sort of interview, sketch, a movie. I will plan on producing more plays and television shows and films and performing stand-up comedy, maybe even improvisational comedy in the future. And although there are many trials and tribulations in this industrialized capitalistic society, I'm down and I'm in and I'm not scared. And although we're in the jungle, baby, you're gonna die. In the jungle, welcome to the jungle, sounds ya. It's gonna bring you down!
Thank you.